This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's bring him in now, Rob Reichel from Forbes.com, writing about the Green Bay Packers as well. Rob, how you been, buddy?
I'm great. How you doing, Billy?
I am doing well. So let me ask you this. The question we had at the beginning of the show was, did the Chargers and the 49ers kind of give you the blueprint to beat the Green Bay Packers? Do you think they did?
Yeah, I do, Bill, for the most part. I mean, from a Green Bay perspective, Billy, I think it's a little bit concerning that you can take away a guy like Aaron Jones, which those teams clearly tried to do. San Francisco had tremendous success, and Green Bay just didn't seem to have a counterpunch the other night, Bill. I mean, they just didn't really have an answer in that chess game. LaFleur, theoretically, it should be Davante Adams, and he wasn't winning enough of his individual matchups. And then really, Bill, I mean, as you look at that roster, where do you go from there, right? They try to get Jamal Williams involved a little bit in the passing game. But the rest of those wide receivers don't put a lot of fear in a defensive coordinator. The tight ends are really a pedestrian bunch for the most part at this point in time. I mean, Bill, my belief is that it's going to take another offseason for Brian Gutekunst to absolutely – fix this roster to the point where they're a legitimate contender to go to the NFC championship or the Super Bowl or something like that. I think they're a nice solid 10-11 win team right now, Bill, but they look more like a wild card team to me than they do a team that can challenge for a conference title. And I really think the GM needs another year to fix it all, Billy.
That's what I was going to ask, is if this team, because Gutekunst couldn't fix everything in the first year or even two, but next year is kind of, you got kind of the whole band together, so to speak, short of Brian Bulaga. So next year is kind of that proving ground. I don't know if they have the talent after what I saw the 49ers play with. I don't know if they have the talent to win the NFC. I do know they can get to the postseason, but do you think scheme alone can say if they face off against the 49ers again, can scheme alone get them past the 49ers?
Boy, Bill, I'm not sure how you make up 29 points. I mean, I think no matter where you play that game, no matter what the weather is like, Green Bay's going to have a hard time blocking that front. I mean, the thing, Bill, I'd be really concerned about from a Green Bay perspective is San Francisco did most of its damage the other night with four. They didn't really feel compelled or the need to send a high percentage of blitzing at Rodgers the other night. And, you know, to me, Bill, he didn't step up to the bell either. He didn't. You know, he played one of his poorest games in a Packer uniform. I mean, not just from an accuracy standpoint, but some of his decision-making, holding the ball forever, taking sacks. You know, when you're the highest-paid player on the team, when you're one of the highest-paid players in the league, Bill, you have to play like Michael Jordan. You need to step up and carry your team, and he certainly didn't do that the other night. They need a lot more from him, but you know, they need a lot more from some other guys, too. And I'm not sure right now, Bill, all the answers are on the roster. And no matter what LaFleur would try to do, no matter what you try to adjust and toy with scheme-wise, I think it's personnel probably at this point more than it is scheme. I think they've got to invest again in the wide receiver position come the draft, Bill, and certainly get a tight end that they fully believe in, whether that's the draft or free agency. They're a little bit thin there. I'm not sure what they do with Bulaga. Like you said, to me, I'd give him a two-year deal and bring him back because there's not a serviceable replacement right now on the roster, assuming you're not going to kick Billy Turner out to tackle. Bill, I think Gutekunst needs another entire offseason. A good, strong draft, another key move or two in free agency to get this thing entirely fixed.
We have talked about tight ends and slot receivers over the middle and such for quite some time now, and it's something that I don't know if you can put it on Mike Pettine as a scheme or if it's just the Jimmys and the Joes, not the X's and the O's, whatever you want to call it. why is there such, I mean, I can look at it, and I can tell you, I can see guys that, you know, break wide open. I can see guys that communication-wise look for help in the middle. I can see guys that are playing zone and they find the soft spot in the zone. I can see a lot of this on a daily basis. Is there anything that you can see that is fixable here?
It's a great question. I mean, they've been trying to fix some of these same problems, like you mentioned, Bill, for a few years now. I mean, certainly when it comes, you know, to covering tight ends and running backs, they haven't done that very well since they lost Joe Thomas a few years ago, and he's doing a nice job with that right now in Dallas. It's not Blake Martinez's strength or his forte to handle that particular job and responsibility. I think it's beyond Mike Pettine at this point in time. I really do, Bill. And I thought they came up with some creative things early in that 49er game, some blitzes from guys you don't always see blitzing. Amos came off at one point and got a sack. Blake Martinez as well. I kind of liked what he did. He clearly came up with some of that from a scheme standpoint during the bye week, Billy. But, man, I don't know if there are enough answers either on that defensive side of the ball. Clearly the GM hit home runs with both Smiths, but, you know, you've got to have some concerns with what you've seen from some of the defensive linemen as we look ahead to, you know, the potential for what they're going to want to fix and replace in the offseason. I'm not sure Kevin King is the long-term answer at one of the corners. I think you're solid at a lot of positions. You know, you'll have a really tough call, too, Bill, on Blake Martinez with what to do there. Do you give him an extension? Do you pay him second contract level type of money? Or do you let him walk thinking you can find an adequate replacement in the draft or free agency? So it'll be a really interesting offseason. They always are. The positive from a Green Bay standpoint, Bill, is we were sitting here talking a year ago. They're already out of the postseason. This year they're 8-3. The schedule lines up extremely favorably for them to probably get to 12-4 when it's all said and done. I'm not sure that wins the division. The Minnesota game will eventually probably determine that. But in all likelihood, they're going to be no worse than a 5 and maybe as high as, you know, a 2 or a 3 as a divisional champion, Bill. So they've got problems. Everybody does. But they're also going to win 11, 12 games with all those problems.
Talking with Rob Reichel of Forbes.com, and that's been part of my argument for how good this team actually is, because they've been able to win these games and actually win some good games. I mean, I considered the road win in Dallas, the road win in Kansas City, I considered those pretty good wins. You know, and obviously winning that opener against the Bears, even though the Bears have not been the Bears this year, I still consider that on that standalone Thursday night to open the season. A lot of pressure going on the road to get that win, and then beating the Vikings as well. So they've got some nice feathers in their cap, even with flaws. So I don't know if that makes them a much better team than we would assume they are, or that they are just getting lucky. I don't think at this point in time, with 8 wins against quality teams, that you can consider yourself just lucky, right?
No, it's certainly beyond that. But I mean, let's be honest, they've caught some breaks along the way. They missed Mahomes in the Kansas City game. They certainly caught some breaks from the officiating to win the Lions game 23-22. Mike Zimmer, I thought, made one of the more boneheaded calls of the NFL season when they were running the ball down the field trying to win the game against them in week 2, and he puts the ball in Kirk Cousins' hands at the end of that game, and King gets the interception instead of just plowing into the end zone to win the game with Dalvin Cook. You know, Oakland did kind of the same thing down there. You remember, Bill, a month or 6 weeks ago when they let Carr try to scramble, and then he reached for the pylon and the ball rolled out of the end zone. That was a turning point in that game. They were going to probably beat Oakland anyways. But I think they've had more bounces go their way this year than a normal season, without question, Bill, to get to 8-3. I mean, keep in mind, they're only plus 16 in point differential right now, and the other night played a large role in that. But a lot of times that can be a really telling statistic in terms of who you are as a football team. Plus 16 kind of indicates a normal team, Bill, is going to be about 6-5 with that plus or minus point differential. For example, Minnesota's 8-3 with a plus 84 right now in terms of the point differential. So credit to them. They're winning the close games. They're winning, you know, those games against teams that look similar to them on paper. But I think what we saw the other night is they do not line up with the cream of the crop inside this league right now. The San Franciscos, you would think that's Baltimore, maybe New England, Seattle, teams like that. I think there's a gap between those teams right now maybe New Orleans too, Billy. Those teams in Green Bay, but credit to Green Bay to be where they are and now to be in a position where you've got, you know, two dregs of the NFC East and the two bottom feeders in the NFC North that are still on your schedule. You're going to be probably 7 to 10 point favorites in all four of those games. And if you take care of business in those, Bill, at absolute worst, you're 12-4, and no question you're gonna be in the playoffs, a wild card at worst at 5, and maybe that's good enough to win the division.
Always good to talk to you, Rob. We certainly appreciate it, and we're going to chat again down the road, I'm sure, okay?
Always fun. Thanks, Billy.
All right, buddy. Talk to you soon. There you go. Rob Reichel joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them, 844-PRIDE. Go to schneiderjobs.com. That's 844-PRIDE. Go to schneiderjobs.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.